This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Hey, hey, good to have you on board. Thanks for watching, as always, on YouTube TV, listening on SiriusXM Channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates across the country. Coming up in this hour, 15 minutes from right now, Mike Palm in studio. You Cannot Be Serious, along with three burning questions in the NFL. We have door one, door two coming up a little bit later on. And here, tonight's Major League Baseball card. A lot of great numbers to look at, ponder, consider, maybe making bets with. Good pitching matchup tonight, dare I say, in Philadelphia, with Aaron Nola taking on Sandy Alcantara. Maybe not so much with Nola, but Alcantara's been great his last month. 34 innings, a 1.59 ERA. He has won both starts against Philly this year. He's pitched at least six innings in eight straight starts, one or zero runs in six out of those eight. The deal is here, overall, career-wise, this is probably one of the bigger sample sizes you're going to get against any active roster for any pitcher. 352 career plate appearances for the Phillies roster. Bryce Harper, ownage, 327 average, seven extra base hits, three home runs, 10 RBIs. Trey Turner, 362, four extra base hits, two home runs. Alex Bohm, 14 for 37, three extra base hits. He's also been on fire in general anyway. But Nola has allowed 30 home runs this year. That leads the league. 30 already.
Yep. He was good in the Field of Dreams game, and they're trying to keep this winning streak going. The runs have been there in the bats. Arise also owns Sandy as well. So I think hard to trust Nola, though. And their record with it when the big three doesn't pitch is so bad. But I think the Phillies can get this one done.
They've also, they're going for a season-long six-game winning streak. And they have had five straight games scoring six-plus runs, Pauly.
Yep. They're catching breaks, too. It looks like, a lot of time left, but 2-0 Boston. So Arizona could get swept here, and they could pick up another game.
Mm-hmm. So the Yankees got the job done last night. That was a good result. Tonight, Weathers against Bassett in Baltimore. Chris Bassett as a home dog.
I have Warren.
Oh, Warren. Okay.
Did you switch it?
Okay.
I have Warren.
Warren's okay. Maybe they flipped it. So Bassett as a home dog, 15-5 straight up since 2022, 7-0 his last seven. Home dog, been barking big time. Can anybody else step up other than Trent Grisham for the Yankees?
Well, Goldie's hitting .440 career against them, but this is tough to watch and tough to take. It's historic with some of their losses, and they just can't get any runs going here. So good job you get Rodon back, and he was solid, but I think there's runs, but it's hard to do with a Yankee game and how bad they've been offensively.
Yeah.
But I just say Goldie to answer your question, just based on the track record and the history he has against Bassett.
Here's Grisham over his last nine games, .361 average, four doubles, five homers, 11 RBI, so he has been blazing hot. On the flip side, Pete Alonso for the Orioles hit safely in 10 straight, batting .500 with five home runs and 10 RBIs in that span. And in his career against the Yankees, 40 games overall, 13 home runs, 34 RBIs. Another guy to pay attention to, Kobe Mayo, went yard last night. He is now homered in each of the past 2 days, both against lefties. Only Matt Olson has more homers than Mayo against lefties this year, 14 compared to 13. And Will Warren has won his two starts. You're right, he is going tonight for sure, against the Orioles this year, allowing four runs, three earned in 12 innings overall.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, I can't get there with runs because of the Yankees' offense overall.
Rays team total, Rays run line plus money. Now, the numbers are bad because he's had some horrific starts where he's just got lit up. But I think they can get something going against Scherzer here. And also, you're talking about a team that's got that unbelievable home record as well. So it's come down a little bit. But Rasmussen against Scherzer, and I think Tampa can do enough offensively here. And can Rasmussen hold them down? I say yes. 7.5, though, is the total tonight coming up.
Mm. Well, let me give you this on Tampa Bay. Against divisional opponents, they started 14-2 against the American League East. Since then, they've lost 15 out of 24 games. The first 16 games overall, they had a 2.40 ERA from their starting pitchers, 3.45 with the relievers. the last 24 in the division, like I mentioned, 9-15. The ERA from the starters, 5.07. The ERA from the relievers, 4.75. It's a total 180 from the pitching staff. You go from 14-2 inside the division to last 24, now being 9-15. Basically, that game was over with immediately yesterday. And the Blue Jays have been, dare I say this, I don't want to play them in October. They make the playoffs.
I wouldn't be that worried about it. No one wants this, I'll tell you that.
That's the thing. Nobody
just when you're buying into Detroit, they lose 5 out of 6. You think maybe Cleveland can do something, and now they're stinking up the joint. And so we got two guys making their debut tonight. Wilkinson, Tugboat for the Giants. And then the kid for the Astros makes his debut. As they've had so many different starting pitchers this year as well. Mm. And they're taking on the Angels. Bad job last night. They lost. Pecco's $1.50 here. But if you lose ground here, it's cause for concern. Because you're playing the Angels and A's at home. If they can't pick up ground, and then maybe that ticket will come in. Under 83.5 for the division winner at Will Hill and Caesars. So I think Texas will lose tonight to Washington, but this is a bad stretch here too. Start off with the road trip with a loss with the Astros. They should just make that not only a wild card, they should just make it, will any team make the postseason with a losing record?
Yeah, it's good.
And factor in a division winner too, because that's definitely in play that they're 500 and in first place and lost 6-10.
Yeah, call me crazy. The team coming out of the American League West will not be the Seattle Mariners. 22-0 last night. 21 of the runs for Milwaukee came in the fifth inning or later. The last team to score 21-plus runs after the fourth inning was Texas, August 22nd, 2007. They scored 20. Get this.
On a Baltimore game?
Yeah, they scored 25 of the 30 runs in the starting in the sixth inning.
Oh.
So their 22 runs last night matched their total from the previous 7 games. And now, like you mentioned earlier, the run differential is plus 158, Dodgers plus 143, best in the majors now, on pace plus 203, which would the franchise record was in 1982 when they won the American League pennant. It was plus 174. Yeah. So, great article, as always, from Steve Mackinnon up at vsin.com. I'm wondering how teams respond when they go that nuts offensively in a game. Well, here's one angle. Home favorites coming off of a game in which they hit 4 home runs or more have proven to be a great investment the last 6-plus years. Overall, 399 and 198, that's 67%. You're up plus 62 units, an ROI of 10.4%. Milwaukee, a small home favorite today against Logan Gilbert and the Mariners.
Yep. Now, 4 up over the Dodgers for the 1 seed. They have the tiebreaker, 5 up over the Braves. And that can go up as Atlanta just got swept against Minnesota. So great bounce back after they had that funk and then what they did in L.A. too. So excellent, excellent season.
There was a long stretch of time where a buddy of ours, Point Shaver, documented how many games in a row went under when the Dodgers would take on Freeland and the Rockies. Remember how uncanny that was? It was like a long stretch spanning like several years where like every game was going under. That has since flipped, but he has 271 career plate appearances against this Dodgers offense, the current roster. Mookie Betts, 8 extra base hits off him, 3 home runs. Otani, a .563 average, 3 home runs, 4 extra base hits, 9 RBIs. Tommy Edman and Andy Páez each have smacked 2 home runs off him as well. If this is high scoring again tonight, I mean, the same game parlays are going to be popping like it's hot in this game.
Yep. That's a good way to attack it.
I took Otani again tonight at plus 210.
Sure. Sasaki's been good, too. His last time out, is just he had the bases loaded, walks twice. But that's all he gave up against Milwaukee. So I would trust the Dodgers again here. No break on the run line, though, at least at DraftKings, what they're offering.
Well, here's one thing to consider long-term, I think, for the Dodgers this year. At what point do they pivot to Sasaki coming out of the bullpen again and maybe being the closer? Is that when they get Glasnow back? If Otani can come back and be a pitcher as well in the starting rotation?
I thought that what was the plan, yeah.
It's going to have to be the plan, I think, right?
Yeah. I thought they were going to do that last week. Like, would I think they changed up.
Would you rather have Sasaki remain as the starter or Edwin Diaz remain as the closer?
I'd put him back. Well, now he's hurt. That's a blessing in disguise. that he's hurt, but I would put him back in a closer role.
You have to.
It's just an unmitigated disaster, and every time he comes in, how bad he's been.
I don't know how you possibly go to war with him in the playoffs as a closer. Roberts cannot lose his mind and stick with him. Can't. You bet anything else tonight?
Thank you. I would look at, I mentioned the Nationals, and also the Royals going for the sweep here, too. Lugo's going. Look at the price, though. Lugo's $1.80 against the A's. That shows you how bad Springs has been, though, and his numbers. But that's sick to see a team that bad laying that price.
Well,
that is unbelievable.
I know.
It's not like Lugo's been Cy Young either.
Well, they've been just such a flop.
Oh, man.
Let's see here. Updated race for most losses. The Royals have 74. A's have 77.
What a race.
Angels have 76 in the National League.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Rockies have 76 and the Giants have 74. The A's are going to be, boy, now they're starting to have a cushion over other teams, not named the Angels. But the Rockies also got bad news as they had to put their catcher, Hunter Goodman, on the IL. No good.
It's going to be a great race. How many division games do the Giants have left? That'd be something to look at, too, in September.
Yeah.
As well. But the A's were 500 not that long ago. Mm-hmm. Week zero, college football almost here, and the NFL regular season right behind it. Get your edge with VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro to get instant access to the college football and NFL betting guides, team previews, power ratings, every best bet, every host, every guest, real-time betting splits. Start today, $9.99, or save 50% with the VSiN Pro annual subscription. VSiN.com/subscribe.
Mike Palm next. Three burning NFL questions for the maestro as the season approaches on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Wednesdays with the maestro. Mike Palm is the VP of Circa Las Vegas, the Golden Gate, and the D. Joins us in studio here on another hot August afternoon. My God, I thought it was going to go away. It's back to like 114.
Hello, Mitch. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Mike.
I just walked back from the D. I mean, I'm exhausted.
It's ridiculous.
The 7-minute walk. We had a hotel meeting. I just came back. By the way, it's like the total eclipse of the sun, you two in studio. It's amazing.
Sure.
Yeah.
How did he do it? He's got the Saints. He had the Saints in the Invitational.
Yeah.
I hate the pick now.
I don't like it.
Well, you were left with the Packers. You could have taken the Packers.
No, thanks.
He said no way.
Well, it's better than taking the Raiders 11th.
Zero way.
How about that pick?
Then the funnest part is always the draft of 32 because everybody just picks their home team, right?
Pretty much.
That's what it was. I kept saying home team, home team, home team. And then another Idaho. There were five people from Idaho out of 31. Can you believe that? I said, now another Idaho. San Francisco's gone. And Seattle's gone. What's the home team for him now? You know,
the Frankfurt
Galaxy from the old, I mean, a little Nazi reference, but, you know, I mean, what's left?
Sure. Who's this year's New England?
I don't know if anyone's this year's New England. I think Atlanta's underrated. I know they've had injuries here, but boy, do they have a lot of weapons and a massive upgrade at head coach. I just think, you know, you can lay the juice with over 6.5.
Yep.
Or you can get a plus price on over 7.5. It's hard for me to believe this team's only going to win 6 games this year, only going to win 7 games this year in that division.
What about when they throw for 0 yards on average per game?
Well, I guess you got to get somebody to give people the ball, but they still have all these weapons, and I don't know. I mean, I'll take a chance that he's halfway decent at some point this year, and they can put a few wins together in that division.
A risky prop.
Is it? I don't know.
He didn't throw the ball 5 yards down the field.
Well, you know, he has more weapons now. He's a better running game. I think he's got an excellent tight end. They have an offense just waiting for a quarterback, which is the same way I feel about Minnesota,
yep.
Who has an offense just waiting for a quarterback. And hopefully by September, Kyler Murray's learned the playbook. You know, that's the bet.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So maybe there isn't going to be a New England this year. So you rule out the Giants too?
The offensive line, it's not there. How are they going to keep that kid healthy? How do you keep Dart healthy? That's my major concern for the Giants. Can you keep Dart healthy?
Secondary problems as well. The front of that, obviously the front seven, the front defensive line will be really, really good. They have weapons there, but the schedule, by the way, again this year, way too difficult for me to get on board with this team.
Difficult for a team that deserves an easier schedule. I mean, when you look at it in the long run, I think the Giants are a team that you target in 2 years or 3 years.
I agree.
I think they're a building franchise, not this year.
I will say this, though. They're going to be better than the Commanders.
I would agree with you there.
I think Washington is going to be a stink bomb yet again this year.
Regression after regression.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll tell you my team I think will disappoint people is I think the 49ers are going to disappoint people. The offense, these
are you saying not even playoffs?
I'm saying under 9.5 plus 130, which would say no playoffs, right? Okay. 9-8 probably won't get them in. You got two easy division games with four tough ones. You got a head coach. Who knows how bad Shanahan's really banged up with that whole cover-up? The offense just looks slow and old to me. I think they're in a tough spot here. I don't see how they win 11 games, which their standard number is 10.5, right?
Mm-hmm. How about Seattle? You're going to miss Kubiak. You're going to miss Walker. Can Darnold do it again? I see how the new OC works out.
I think you're trying to catch lightning in a bottle with Darnold twice. I just don't think. I don't think that they're going to be there at the end. I think if the Rams stay healthy, they're clearly the best team in football, without doubt. Now, that's the big bet again, though. I thought two years ago Stafford wouldn't play anymore. Mm-hmm. So if they can stay healthy, I think they're head and shoulders above the rest of the NFC.
Is it 14 wins then?
Could be. I think you could bet some alt numbers with them if you want to take a shot here.
Lou Finocchiaro came on a couple weeks ago and at the time gave out his best bet for a win total. It was Seattle under.
Yeah, he was on my show Bet on Chicago, and that was his lead. Seahawks under was his strongest feeling. He had all under bets at that time, too. He gave out three under bets, and they were all.
What else you got, Paul?
What else, Paul? What else? What else can we talk about here on this first segment?
That's all I sent you.
Okay, game of the century tonight. Yep. Is anybody talking about the game of the century tonight?
Which is what?
Lynx. Lynx at Valkyries. It's the game of the century.
Yeah.
Well, Valkyries haven't beaten them yet. They haven't beaten the aces or the, you know, you can beat all the downtrodden you want.
Are you calling this a preview of the WNBA finals?
No, I don't believe so. I only think there's two teams that can win. Despite the aces' loss at home, which was, I thought, a bad spot for them last night.
I thought you have Golden State futures.
I have Golden State to make the semifinals.
Oh, is that it? Okay, all right.
Semifinals, Mitchell.
Okay.
Which means they only have to win a first-round game. Well, who knows who's going to be the seven? Looks like Mystics or Wings. Wings got to hang on for dear life now. Mm-hmm. I mean, Phoenix is 4.5 back. It's not impossible for them to get caught. 2 days ago, they were 6.5, and I thought it was impossible. Now they're 4.5, and your girl, who you loved being the top pick, Fudd, she's having arthroscopic knee surgery now on that right knee, and she's out for the rest of the regular season.
How bad is this? People are already saying this is Oden and Durant. It's the same knee.
Same knee.
The MVP candidate goes 2. She goes 1, out for the year, and it's the same knee she hurt in 2019 and 2023.
By the way, I think Miles is clearly the second best player this year behind Asia. I just don't know how you say Asia's not the best when she can hit from 3. She's the best defender in the post in the league, right? And she's the leader of a championship team. But Miles has changed that franchise. And Cheryl Reeves is the best coach because she adapts to her talent level. But all of a sudden, they're an up-tempo team, and they have so many weapons. And, you know, this girl doesn't even have to score for them to be good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what if Golden State, what if there's a path tonight where they put Minnesota in the meat grinder? Because they are elite defensively. Yeah. And if they dictate this game and they win convincingly, will one game change your opinion about their ceiling?
No, but I just don't think in the playoffs, when this becomes a possession-for-possession league, that they have enough elite scoring when you get into a fourth quarter of a game. I just don't know who you can really count on. Can you count on Gabby? I don't know. Tiffany Hayes? I don't know. Who are you really going to count on? And who are they going to take away? It's interesting. I think the path to beating the Aces is to take away Jackie Young, right? And watching the Aces in the last few weeks, take away Young. You let Asia have her points. You let Chelsea Gray have her points. If you take, they kind of go as Jackie Young goes. What are you going to do? What are you going to do to take from Minnesota, though? Who are you going to stop, right? Williams' mid-range game is unbelievable. I mean, those 16-foot jumpers for her are like a layup. McBride's deadly from 3. Miles can beat you off the dribble. Are you going to take away Fee? Nobody even talking about Fee, who was going to be the MVP last year before she got hurt. She's just putting up 16 a game now. Who do you take away? They have a lot of weapons, and when they want to defend, they can defend. So,
can you believe the under run? 18 of the last 19 games have
gone
under.
It ended with the fever last night.
Yeah, they finally went and played an over. I know.
Yeah, finally.
Crazy.
They had 16 in a row going into last night.
Yep. What are we on? Last week you said we're above pace 80% from last year. Now we're over 10,000. Yep. What is the pace
exactly
still?
Exactly 80%. So last year with 25 days left, we were at 5,600. This year we're at 10,000. So exactly 80% over. Still 23% over in the million. 70, well, it's 20 to 16 in the 25%, 20 to 16 in the Grandissimo. So we continue to pace very well here. I mean, I will be shocked if we don't get to 25 million.
Wow.
You'll be shocked.
I will be. I mean, it just keeps going. It keeps going. Mitch, even if we get, if we tailor off, we've never been less than 50%, right? We were at 70, went down to 50, up to 86. Even if we end up at 50 or at 27, 28 million, right? So I feel that way.
Okay, so what's the climb now that we're talking about on a daily basis? What's the consistent count that you're getting for signups? 300-400 every single day?
On a Monday and Tuesday, we're getting 300.
And then the weekend, 6?
And then the weekends, you're getting 600-700 here. And as we ramp into the final few weeks, remember, it's kind of later this year, right, because of the Labor Day. Then you're going to expect to be doing 1,000 a day on the weekends the weekend before, and then the last 4 days over 1,000.
Oh, boy. So then, yeah, you're really not joking around. That's going to hit probably 25,000.
You're talking about the bad day is 300.
Yeah, right.
Baxter, with 25 days to go.
Baxter said 28,000.
Well, I'm right there with him. I said 27, 28.
Like nothing really will surprise me.
I made my number new. I started with 22.5. I made my adjusted number 27.5.
Does the documentary's big. The network helps. How big is the fiasco at the Westgate play into this?
Well, I think that's a big tailwind for us. There's a certainly
significant. You think it's significant? Just the uncertainty of what they're going to do.
I think it's worth 5% more for us.
Okay,
I do, because people that knew that they were going to have, they're going to come out here and they've got $8,000 to spend, and they were going to spend 5 here and 3 there. Maybe it's now 7-1. Maybe it's 8-0. I think there's a lot of people that split both places, and now will do more here, not knowing what they're going to have. And you didn't know, because Caesar, you didn't even know what they were going to do. There was that whole period of certainty. Were they even going to run the contest?
Mm-hmm. Good answer.
Jeff Sherman working here now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good pickup.
Yeah. 28,000.
That would be incredible.
Oh, boy.
Remember, we used to compare it to the World Series of Poker main event. They get 10.
10.
They get 10. 10. You might get 30.
Could we ever get that big? Yeah. Could we ever get
so
that big?
So which way will it go this year? 2 years ago, chaos in the first month, like you wouldn't believe. Everybody was out.
Yeah.
Or last year, nobody was out until Thanksgiving, and then it was just bloodbath.
I like nobody out better. I like more people to get some bang for their buck. So let's cross our fingers that there's some stability early.
Numerous people have said they're using the Raiders week one.
Yeah. God bless them.
God bless them.
God bless them.
Yeah.
If you're ever going to use the Dolphins, it would be week one, in my opinion. Or not go against them. More with the Maestro next, including You Cannot Be Serious. Where in the world is Kettle Marte?
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
It's good to have you on board as we continue here Wednesdays with the Maestro. Mike Palm is the VP of Circa Las Vegas, the Golden Gate, and the D. It's time now for You Cannot Be Serious.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Yeah, how about some headlines? I missed that headlines part of this segment. So we'll start with Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? I mean Kettle Marte. After the D-backs concluded their series in Atlanta Sunday, the team traveled to Boston for a three-game set with the Red Sox. The D-backs conspicuously held their lineup on Monday night until 15 minutes before first pitch, as three-time All-Star second baseman Ketel Marte had not arrived at Fenway. He did not show up by first pitch, and the D-backs immediately placed him on the restricted list, meaning he cannot participate, but it's not an injury and he's not getting paid. After the game, D-back skipper Torey Lovullo said Marte was away for the team, quote, dealing with a personal issue, and that he had attempted to communicate with Marte, but, quote, he didn't respond much. What does that mean? He didn't respond much. On Tuesday, complete flip of script. The team reported that Marte had gone back to Arizona to get an MRI on his knee. This seemed odd, as D-backs third baseman Nolan Arenado underwent an MRI that revealed intercostal injury on Monday in Boston. When questioned about why Marte had to return to Phoenix for his knee, but Arenado could get his injury looked at in Boston, Lovullo said, quote, that's not my department. Now today, Marte's agent Charisse Espinoza Dash. And for those scoring at home, that's Espinoza Dash Dash. Well, you like that, Mitch? Well, it's a hyphenated name with dashes. I'm sorry, I had it. Dash Dash said, Kettle is currently managing a personal matter and will be undergoing an MRI on his knee tomorrow. Kettle appreciates the unwavering support from fans, teammates, the Diamondbacks organization, and Torrey Lovullo during this time. He remains optimistic about his recovery and looks forward to returning to the field to contribute to the team's success as soon as possible. So it's good that the Diamondbacks PR department got the script to his agent today to cover both of the stories that they had told. I'd say give the guy a break if this had been the first. Oh, this is not the first time, not even the second time. Last year, during July, Marte missed multiple games when his house got broken into over the All-Star break. And this June, it was reported that there was trouble in the clubhouse and causing issues because of Marte's repeated absences, to which Lovullo reported Martel is a great clubhouse guy and there are no issues. How long are the Diamondbacks going to keep covering up for this guy? Arizona Diamondbacks!
You cannot be serious!
Now for something completely different. A league of their own. How many of you have been following the Women's Pro Baseball League? Not many, I would suggest, for all the hate I get for talking about the WNBA. But this is a league 2 years in the works, okay, Paul and Mitch? They have four teams, Boston, New York, L.A., and San Francisco, and they began games in August. All games are played at Robin Roberts Stadium in Springfield, Illinois. So for the first year, it's 7 weeks of games. They play on every Wednesday and every Sunday, all right? Less than 2 weeks after the beginning of their inaugural season, the Boston Hunters fired their manager, former Red Sox stopper Keith Foulke, following a disastrous, listen to me, a disastrous 1-2 start, leaving them a game and a half back of the league leading at the time, 3-1 Los Angeles Queens, who we suspect will play their games next year in West Hollywood. WPBL Commissioner Justine Siegel said of the firing, "It was completely for baseball reasons. Foulke had a hard time relating to his team full of young players, and we thought someone else would be a better fit." But Foulke tells a much different story. He said that he negotiated with the CEO of the league that he would stay in Arizona during the season with his wife and children. His wife is 8 months pregnant. "I had this deal completely worked out, but apparently they didn't think to tell my assistant coaches or even my players. So everyone was shocked that I would fly back to Arizona after the games on Wednesday and Sunday nights." The commissioner said Foulke had lost control of the locker room.
Oh, come on.
And the move had to be made. So who at this sudden time could replace Foulke? Well, they looked across the diamond to Queens assistant coach Jamil Weeks, former Major League Baseball player, who went from being the assistant coach of the Queens to now the head coach of the Hunters. Women's Pro Baseball League.
You cannot be serious.
And now for an even, maybe, an even more ludicrous story. Have you heard about, the title is A Bridge Too Far. Have you heard about the Edmonton Marathon? Did you guys catch on to this story? Oh. How about this? 2 days, so Sunday was the races.
Don't tell me someone cheated.
No. 2 days after runners completed the Edmonton Marathon, the race director is apologizing after he says event officials discover an error in accounting for detours and the races were actually too long. So if you were following this Sunday night and Monday, there were Olympians, there were amateur runners, there were these people that travel and said, "We ran too long. That course was too, my time couldn't have been like that. It was too long." On Sunday night and Monday, all these Canadian officials absolutely denied it. Said there's no way it was exactly, and so now, in a statement issued Tuesday afternoon, Director Tom Hughes said the distance of the half marathon and the marathon courses were exactly 675 meters longer than they had previously thought. The Edmonton Marathon's previous statement detailing confidence in the course certification process was issued with the best information we had at the time. The review has identified an error in how this year's detour-related course adjustments were calculated, and we sincerely apologize. The additional distance was added for the Wellington Bridge detour, which was partially offset with adjustment made to the course West End turnaround point. Upon review, it was determined that the turnaround point did not offset the addition of the detour. We own this error. We take full responsibility, and we're going to try to figure out how we can certify this result. How about they caught up with this guy, Calgary runner Mike Walsh, who spent a year training for the Edmonton Marathon in hope that he would have a time that would qualify him for the granddaddy of them all, the Boston Marathon. He wanted 2:59 for the 40 to 44 men's age group. He actually ran exactly 2:59 in the actual race course distance, but did not qualify because of the extra difference. Oh. Edmonton Marathon!
You cannot be serious!
I don't know how you find some of this stuff, but man, it's incredible.
I'm sure you have sources.
Yeah, yeah, people reached out.
How about Folk? Folk. They came out with all this statement. They said he was too hard on the girls. The girls wanted to play and know that their errors are, it's okay to make mistakes and they could still grow in the game. Our average age is 23. We needed someone who could relate. It had nothing to do with that at all. They didn't want him flying back and forth twice a week.
I got a lot here for you.
Okay, go.
So Walter, who flips the Lakers? Sells the Lakers, own them for less than a year. Sells his piece of Chelsea. What's going to happen with the Dodgers now? And this was Andrew Sorkin in 2012. I'm calling BS on this when he bought the Dodgers. It doesn't pass the smell test. When the numbers don't add up, it's worth asking some questions. He's using insurance money, which is typically supposed to be invested in simple, safe assets, to buy a baseball team. The ultimate toy. Seems like a lawsuit waiting to happen. Walter.
In 2012?
Yeah. Walter appears to be living out a childhood fantasy using other people's money, some of whom may not even realize it.
Do you know
this
which...
is from one more. This is okay. From The Athletic the other day. Ohtani has a key man provision in his contract. He can opt out if Walter or Friedman leave the organization. He immediately becomes a free agent at the end of the season. 10 years, $700 million.
Before we address Ohtani, do you know which state is going to be devastated by this? Do you know which state he bilked out of all this money, where all of these policies were sold, that he turned around and took all these premiums and put it into his sports franchise? The state of Iowa.
Was it?
I had to look into this. Who regulates their insurance sales at the state level, not federally. So the statutes say that only 3% of dollars that they collect on these insurance and pensions and all this stuff that's in his financial can be spent on other enterprises. He's spending 80 cents out of every dollar he collected in Iowa on all this flim-flam Madoff scheme. The state of Iowa is in big trouble. Because all this money they took that's supposed to be there to pay out insurance policies and pensions is invested in sports teams.
Oh, boy.
And they had to sell to get the money back if they have to pay off these policies. It was all this big Ponzi scheme.
So it's the definition.
It's unbelievable.
It's the definition of like a true white-collar crime, and people are already speculating that he's going to get off scot-free.
Yeah,
I don't know about that. It also go back, what do the NBA know,
what's he going to do? Go to jail in Fort Dodge in Iowa? I mean, it's a disaster. I don't know why Ohtani would want to leave.
He talked about it a couple days ago. He asked. He said, I'm not going to opt out.
He's in a perfect situation where he's at.
Got a baseball play for today.
Alcantara has been incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, over 18 and a half outs is plus 114 tonight. In four of his last five, he's gone over that. In eight of his last 10 and in 10 of his last 14. He's pitching back to his Cy Young form, and he's pitching against a familiar opponent that he's been good against career-wise in the Phillies.
Good luck. New episode tonight. It's called The Collapse. Can't wait. 900 survivors, then 49. In a span of a single week, it goes down, and we reach the conclusion of Grandissimo. Almost $19 million on the line. Watch the next episode tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern on VSiN. All episodes are on YouTube right now. If you want to catch up, search VSiN Live. The Collapse tonight, and the Red Sox just blew it.
Yeah, 3-2 Diamondbacks right now. Fox still on the mound. They are in the bottom of the fifth at Fenway. Great job, Maestro. Thanks for rolling in here again today. Have a good week.
Thank you.
We'll get into door number one, door number two up next, and I'm intrigued by this ticket involving NFL teams to finish last in their division this year. Find out what that ticket is next.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN. It's time to play everyone's favorite Follow the Money game. Live from the VSiN studios.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
This is door number one.
New high score!
What does high score mean? New high score, is that bad? What's that mean? Did I break it?
Or door number two.
You get nothing! You lose. Good day, sir.
Here's Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard.
It's been too long. All right, Mike is right. He's from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I don't know how this is going to play out with Walter. A great article on TheRinger.com by Katie Baker and referenced the Sorkin quote from 2012 about this doesn't pass the smell test. I'll give you $2 billion, but you got to spend 10 years in prison, door one or door two, $50,000 a year for life, but you don't have to do any prison time.
Okay, well, hold on here. So look, I have to do 10 years in prison starting at one age. Does it matter?
That's a good question.
And then when I get out, I get the $2 billion?
For the sake of the argument, I'll do it with Walter's age, because this has been thrown out there in speculation with Walter, so I will say mid-50s.
Or what I get?
Mid-40s.
I'm 50,000 a year. That's it. That's it. But yeah. I never get jailed. I can never make more than 50,000 a year.
Yeah.
But I also am like, I don't have to work. I just get 50,000. That's it. And I just don't have to go to jail. Man, I couldn't do 10 years in prison. I don't even.
$10 billion? $2 billion?
I like to think that I could be Mr. Tough Guy. There's 10 years in prison. My God Almighty.
At that, after
for
the stories,
$2 billion.
After the stories, Love My Baxter told.
I couldn't do it. No.
Fights all the time.
Could you do door number one? You'd be dead in 3 days.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah.
Snitches
get stitches.
So what about if I'm 20?
But that's what like Mike Palm said though too. Like when they put Madoff away, it was Cam Fluffy where they sent him. It was a piece of cake.
Well,
he could do time standing on his. We'll take his shoes off. No
but
problem.
Assuming that's not the case, let's say it's episode two of Cape Fear, right? But I'm 20. I have to go until I'm 30, and I get out. I got $2 billion. If you would have asked me this question when I was 18 years old, I have said, "Give me the $2 billion."
That's
10 years.
That's fair enough. Yeah, that's a good comeback. But I tied it into his because of his age and what he's going through right now.
Oh God, no! Now, no chance.
I've known you 25 years. I've never asked you this question, and we're going to find out a lot about you and the audience. FTM@VSiN.com or tweet at us. Door one, Van Halen. Door two, Van Hagar.
Honestly, this is you're a better person to answer this question than I am. I have not listened to them enough, like repeatedly over time, to give you a good answer. I really don't have
but that's easy enough, though. Are you Roth or Hagar?
I would go Roth.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd go Roth.
Come
I would
on.
Lean Roth for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I just, the Hagar stuff, fine. I mean, it never really popped with me. The stuff with David Lee Roth did pop when I was younger, obviously.
Iconic frontman.
Plus, I mean, the 1984 album is.
Oh, yes. First cassette I purchased.
It's absolutely fantastic.
Oh, what an album.
Honestly, I'm asking the question. I don't know the answer, top of my head. Did Van Hagar do anything close to that album?
Yeah, they did. They sold a lot of albums.
But I mean, in your opinion, was anything?
Oh, in terms of
quality?
No way.
I can't imagine that they did.
Music quality? No, not even close.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
No way.
So I go. Yeah, Van Halen was the answer that I'd have to go to.
That is the correct answer. Door one.
Why? Do you know a lot of people who go Van Hagar? Because I know people who would absolutely tell me Sammy Hagar was better.
There's some. Yeah. I don't know how you get there. The music style changed, but door one, best frontman. Door one, David Lee Roth. Door two, Axl Rose. You're going to the concert Saturday out here.
Well, I gotta go Axl.
Really?
Yeah, I gotta go Axl. Yeah, because the overall, the Guns N' Roses power rating is better than anything you're gonna throw at me from David Lee Roth.
Well, live, you don't know what I mean. He's so moody, going on late.
No, I understand that. Yeah, I really do. Are you talking about going to a show and not knowing what to expect?
No, I'm just talking about. No, I'm talking about the best frontman. Who's the best frontman out of the two? Because you talk about all time. This is your list.
This also might be recency bias because, I mean, the Roth stuff has not aged well. I saw some stuff on him, like, performing recently. It was
great, it's over. Yeah, come on. He's 70 years old. Come
sure,
on.
But also, like, back, I was probably, I mean, when California Girls came out on, what was it, MTV, when I was eight years old.
His solo career
was
pretty big.
I'm like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yep.
Things were happening I didn't know could happen to a young boy.
Just a gigolo?
Yeah.
California Girls? Sure.
Yeah, but man, I'll be honest again. I've seen Guns N' Roses once. I'm going back again this weekend. I can't wait. There's a two-run shot by Arizona. They lead 5-2. By the way, fought in the first five because they won it in the first five today. Our buddy Kevin Rogers checking in. 9-0-1 since June 30th. That show still is a top five show I've ever seen. Now, that was at T-Mobile where the Golden Knights play holds like 18,000. They're playing Allegiant on Saturday. I've never been to – I don't even want to go to a show at Allegiant.
I've seen some rough videos of his voice. Yeah. But then again, that's you're up there in age. That's what you're up against, though.
Right.
Door one. It's the same price now. Door one. Rams win the division. Door two. Dodgers win the National League. It's $1.05 at DraftKings.
Boy, I'm going to regret this one, aren't I? I will go Rams to win the West.
So will I.
Yeah.
That's what I would do as well.
I would say that the competition in the National League, even though that Western division is so good, the NL has more competition that's better. I mean, the Seahawks obviously are the champs. I'm expecting some regression there, and I kind of side with the Maestro, by the way. The Niners, I'm not expecting great things from the Niners this season. And the Rams,
you can't be surprised if they win 10 games. He's a good coach.
Oh, no, I understand that. But so what's the worst-case scenario for the Rams?
Well, Stafford gets hurt, or you're saying record?
Well, record-wise, yeah.
Okay. Everyone stays healthy. Yeah. Bad luck. I would say worst-case is 11 wins.
Yeah, that's the same here.
Yeah, they're that good.
Yeah.
All right. We started last week. I went 2-2. I already got the Titans on Sunday. Weekly head-to-head. Mitch and Paulie presented by the Sharps. You both start with 10,000 chips each Tuesday. The week resets Monday at midnight. You can bet all or nothing on any sport. And if you win, the chip stack grows. If you lose it all, you're done for the week. Follow along with the picks. Join thesharps.com. They have it on the homepage. Use code VEASAN50 for a 50% deposit bonus up to $100. Join thesharps.com. And the free weekly league, get in that now. Get your reps in before week one. Build your stack. Climb the leaderboard. Sharpen your reads before the season starts. Join thesharps.com. Scan the QR code, code VSIN50. Join thesharps.com, code VSIN50. Fantastic website. Easy to navigate and use. Check it out and put your plays in, and good luck and build your stack.
Also, it's a really slick-looking app as well.
Yeah.
Like, very good-looking. They did a great job with it overall. The one play I have in there today is the Diamondbacks. I got it, I think, at around plus 146 in this game. I put 1,000 chips on that one.
I was going to take Pittsburgh. I backed out of it. It's going to be Will Howard and Aller for the whole game Friday. Jets now favored in that game Friday night in Pittsburgh.
Oh,
so
boy,
big move in that game.
I think I might go against that move.
Yeah,
I think I might be okay with Will Howard and Drew Aller.
Sure. Now, it's do it against the fourth strings, one thing. Now, try to do it against maybe backups if you're Aller. But also, how bad did the backups look for the Jets last week?
Totally agree. So let me throw this at you. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the week about, you know, I can't find, like, I like to do divisional parlays, NFL, Major League Baseball. I can't find a parlay to put together this year in the NFL that I like enough in terms of winning. So I flipped it.
Right.
How about teams to finish in last place?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going chalky here. Let me give you a couple of options. Buddy of mine put this one together. Maybe it's a little aggressive. I could certainly limit it to three teams, but he did a four-teamer. Packers to finish in last place, the Colts, the Commanders, and the Buccaneers. Pays more than 115-1.
Huh. I like the parlay. I like it too aggressive, though.
Yeah,
I was thinking taking the easy way out. Raiders, Browns, Dolphins, Arizona.
Well, what does that pay?
Not 115-1.
No, because they're all going to be obviously odds on. But so I really like the three first legs: Packers, Colts, Commanders to finish in last place in this parlay.
Colts? Why Colts?
Oh, they can. They
were the cats me out before the Dimes got hurt. I don't know.
I think their floors can be 5-6 wins this year.
What's Tennessee going to win?
Well, they could, by accident, I mean, they could win a couple games that you don't expect them to win. Last place schedule overall. Maybe Cam Ward surprises a little bit. I think there's a planet that we live in here that the Indy could finish with like 5 or 6, and then the Titans would be live to finish ahead of them. Mm-hmm. But I don't know about the Buccaneers. I would rotate a couple of teams in that division. It's not going to be as nice of a payday with the Buccaneers, but, and maybe I just do a three-teamer. Yeah.
You know, it's tough. You know, getting ready for the draft tomorrow, it's how many slam dunks do you think of teams I can say right now are going to win the division? It's hard. You're right. You can't even put a parlay together.
No, you can't.
Because so many of these divisions are tough.
Don't you think that those are going to fly off the board?
Have to.
Professional sports bettor Paul Bovey, up next. Very strong on an NFL win total this year, a season-long player prop, and a team total in week one. He told us he's coming with information and analysis that we haven't heard over and over and over again yet this offseason.